Hey, Brick City Church, how's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited y'all decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us, worshiping God and praising His name. And I know that the creative team had a preemptive strike against us campus pastors by shooting that video so that we didn't start off this new sermon series every single week singing, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" They figured that they would have people that it could actually do it on video so that we didn't start it off. But I will let you know that I am going to sing that song at some point during the sermon today, so you will just have to hold on and be patient. But I will do it. Okay? So you will get your money's worth for your admission today, which was free because Jesus paid it all. Right? Amen. So listen, we are kicking off this new series entitled, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" And I'm excited about it because during this time, during this season of Christmas, you could hear a lot of things. And we just want to take this time to still ourselves and remind ourselves of what needs to be heard during this season. And today, the whole entire message is about how do we respond in faith. Today's message is all about reminding us that in times of uncertainty, and can we all agree that we live in uncertain times? Can we all start there today at 11:16 a.m. that we live in uncertain times? Yeah? Okay, we can all agree? Good. Well, in uncertain times, no matter what it is, uncertain times, uncertain circumstances, when things are going on in your life that you don't know what's going on, you need to focus on the things that you do know. You need to find out, okay, what can I focus on? What do I know? What do I understand? You know, I'm troubleshooting some things that are going on at my home, and I need to be able to focus on one thing at a time. I have mastered some things about plumbing recently. I am a master toilet unclogger. Okay? I can change a garbage disposal. I am soon going to be able to fix a dishwasher. Those are going to be my three things. But I'm focusing on the things I do know. Currently, I know that my dishwasher doesn't work. I know that. I also know that I'm not buying a new one. Okay? In times of uncertainty, focus on the things that you do know. I know it doesn't work. I know I'm not buying a new one. There we go. Now listen, I know that I'm poking fun at that, but there are some things that are really uncertain in our lives right now, in our world. But we can focus on the things that we do know. God is on the throne. He is in control. He will always be in control. And He is who He says He is. Now, the title of our series, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" It's a song. We heard it sung by some of our wonderful worship team members. Now, the song, we've had some fun learning about it. I actually thought the song was far older than it actually is. The song was written in 1962. Now, that's old to me. I wasn't born in 1962. I wasn't even a twinkle in my parents' eyes in 1962. But I thought it was way older than that. And the song was written by a husband and wife. And the song was written during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Did anybody know this? Anyone at all? Thought it was just written about Christmas, right? Because it's a Christmas song now. No, but the song was actually written because they needed peace. They needed peace in their lives. It was a plea for peace. Because when the USSR was spotted constructing bases for ballistic nuclear missiles in Cuba, these weapons had the ability to strike most of the continental United States. And a confrontation was only averted because of the insistence of the United States president. Now, the man who wrote it with his wife during an interview with the Los Angeles Times years later stated that neither of them could personally perform the song in its entirety during this because of the emotions surrounding the incident. They couldn't even sing the whole entire song together because of the emotions that arose out of them. Our little song broke us up. You must realize that there was a threat of nuclear war at the time. In a time of fear, there was a plea for goodness and light. Church, we need this message now. We need this message today. Now, I know there's not a threat of nuclear war currently, at least that I know of. If any of you know of anything that I don't know of, just keep it to yourself. It's Christmas. Tell us after the new year. There may be a Jack Bauer running around trying to fix the world in the next 24 hours. But listen, we need this message. We need goodness and light right now, because we're living in uncertain times. Not just in our personal lives, some of us, but in our world. You know, Psalm 46:10. It's not going to pop up behind me. You could write it down in your notes, put it in your phone, open in your Bible up and look at it, read it along with me. But it says, "Be still and know that I am God." So many times we read this verse, and the remainder of the verse says, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." We read this verse and we think, "Oh, I just need to be still. I just need to be still. My family just needs to be still and know that He's God." No. The context of this verse is speaking to the nations, speaking to the world. We as a nation, we as a people, all of us just need to still ourselves and recognize that he's God, He's in control, and He got this. We need to still ourselves, all of us. Not just I, we, us. No matter what uncertainty is in the world, if it all falls down, God is our refuge. God is our strength, not just mine, ours. Anxiety, depression, it's at an all-time high. Young girls, young men in their teens have increased hospitalizations by 51%. Kids in the hospital because of depression. Kids. But no matter what, in the midst of all of this, God is saying, "I am still God." Through all of it, we're able to say, "I can have peace." But the tension is, we want to feel better rather than having God get bigger. So in the midst of Christmas, what are we going to hear? What are we going to allow to rule our minds? What song are we going to allow to be loudest? You think about December, it is the most emotional-filled month. Think about it. There's no other month that has the emotions and the feelings that December has. Obviously, it has Christmas, it has my birthday. Back to back, the 25th and 26th, we have to prepare all month for those 2 days. Sean's birthday, our lead pastor's wife Natalie's birthday is on Christmas Day. Lots of special people are born in December. But seriously, so many expectations in the month of December. I say Christmas, and so many people think of stress. They think of shopping. They think of baking. They think of parties. They think of presents. Oh, yeah, and Jesus. We're going to go through the Christmas story today. We're going to talk about it. And in order to hear the Christmas story, it requires us to hear. It requires us to believe. It requires us to obey. We're going to unpack that through the story today. We're going to understand that there needs to be a revelation. There needs to be inspiration. There needs to be perspiration. When you hear, you have a revelation. When you believe, there's inspiration that takes place. When you start to obey, there's going to be some sweat that takes place. Trust me, I know. I sweat a lot. You could laugh at that. It's okay. I'm bald. I don't have any hair to catch the sweat. All right, let's talk about the context of the Christmas story. You ready? One of you is ready. Who is ready? Jody? Jody, you're always ready, in season and out of season. All right, here we go. 400 plus years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's as if God had gone silent. As if. So what do we do when it feels like God's gone silent? What do we do? What do we do when we feel like we're just not hearing God in this time? What do we do whenever we feel like there's more problems than peace? You know, it's a shame that most Christians, I would go as far to say that a majority of Christians say, I don't hear from God. And my response as a pastor is, you need to read his word because he wrote you beautiful, beautiful letters. We get stuck thinking that you need to audibly hear from him all the time instead of reading what he wrote you. So, here we go. Do you hear what I hear? Do you want me to go deeper? Do you hear what I hear? A song. Here we go. Thank you, guys. It would be better if I had drums behind me, a little drummer boy. Kevin, come up here. Here we go. Luke 1, 28 through 30. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed. You better believe she was confused and disturbed. Could you imagine just chilling? This angel shows up named Gabriel. Sounds like a powerful name, doesn't it? Hey, I'm Gabriel. Sounds big, strong. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Now listen, I know that so many times that we could be, well, oh, it's just going to be Christmas. We're just going to hear the Christmas story. It is my prayer that this season, that you hear this a little differently than maybe you've heard it before. It's my prayer that as you invite people into this place and into the house of God, whether it be this campus or another campus, that you're inviting people here, not just so that we could fill this place, but you're inviting people in to hear a message. You're not inviting people here to fill a place. You're inviting people to be here to hear something, to be challenged. Here we go. Mary was confused. She was disturbed. The angel told her, don't be afraid, because she had favor with God. Did you hear it? Do you know what it means to have favor with God? As a son or a daughter, do you know what it means to have favor with God? Do we, as children of God, know what it means to take that position? She's a normal, ordinary, everyday girl. But she had favor upon her. What does it look like for us to walk to have His favor upon us? Do we even know what God's word says about us? What He says about you? Identity is everything. Your identity in Christ is everything. But there's a tension. We start walking in the favor of God. And sometimes when we start hearing Him, it's going to create some crisis. It's going to create some confusion. Mary was told she was favored, and confusion and disruption occurred. She set her eyes on God, and she started to get focused. But here we go. We have to be reminded that when we hear something that requires faith, it creates a challenge and a choice in our life. We have to remind ourselves that God is going to respond to faith. When we start to walk in faith, that's where we see God moving. That's where we meet God, where we follow Him. Faith's not to make us feel better. Faith is to make God bigger in our lives. We see Mary here, and she both had a challenge to her faith and a choice to make. But Mary fought through that confused and disturbed and being afraid, and she started to move forward in her faith. Well, let's talk about her a little bit. She didn't start with easy, perfect circumstances. She was a confused and disturbed teenage girl. How do we know that? She was a teenage girl. Anybody ever met a teenage girl before? Some of you are like, I was a teenage girl before. Some of you moms are trying real hard not to look at your teenage daughter sitting next to you. Like, don't look at her, don't look at her, don't look at her. She was just hanging out, going through Pinterest, planning her wedding. Do you want me to teach you something I learned recently? What Pinterest means? You ready? You pin your interests. Pinterest. How many of you knew that? How many of you learned that today? You were today years old. That's like 50-50. It's interesting. Mary had to keep believing. Verse 32 and 33. He will be very great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "How could this be? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Verse 36, "What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel dipped. He left. Church, when we're hearing God, we need receptive hearts to hear his word. Mary was receptive. She put herself in a position to hear. If she wasn't ready to hear, everything that Gabriel would say would have been in one ear and out the other. She would have stayed confused and disturbed. She asked clarifying questions of what she was hearing. You know, sometimes we can have somebody speaking to us and we can hear the exact opposite of what's being said. How do I know this? I'm married and my son's actually sick today and he sounds like he's a 90-year-old smoker. So he has a little cold. So he's home today with my wife. But she'd be sitting right there usually, and I'd use her as an illustration. So you could text her and tell her I'm talking about her right now. But when she speaks to me sometimes, I have to say this statement. "Babe, what I hear you saying is..." And she will look at me and say, "Nick, that I did not say that at all." I said, "Well, that's what I heard." She said, "This is what I said." And I'll say, "Oh, thank you for clarifying." That statement works with God too. "God, this is what I hear you saying." And then we pray, and then we process, and then we do exactly what Mary did. We go to somebody in our life that is trusted. We go to somebody in our life that we trust, and we take what we heard from God and share it with them, because others help us believe as well. So what did Mary do? What did she do next? She heard, she believed, and she needed help believing further. What we do is next is vital as well. Verse 39, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived, and she entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. Mary hurried. She didn't sit and wait. She didn't run and hide. She didn't keep it a secret. She ran to somebody that was trusted in her life. Church, when we're going through something, when we're hearing something from God, when maybe we're having trouble believing something, we need to go to others in our life, somebody that's trusted, a brother or sister that is trusted in our life, a mother or a father in the faith that is trusted in our life, and bounce some things off of them. When we hurry, it will determine what you do with what God has said. There's always an action to our faith. Elizabeth was her cousin. And as we know, she was pregnant as well. So let's read verses 42 and 45. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Verse 45, you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Elizabeth confirmed the word to Mary. Church, it never fails. What you listen to next after you hear God, after you believe God, will determine a lot. When you start to believe God, the next voice matters. The next voice can propel you or crush you. When I clearly heard God, Nick, I want you to pastor people. If I would have went to a person that didn't know God, they would have said, Nick, you're crazy. What are you thinking? Are you nuts? No, I went to the men in my life that had been walking step by step with me in the faith, and they confirmed it. They encouraged it. They empowered it. They fostered it. They prayed, and they helped walk it out. Mary responded, oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary, at this point, had a song. It was confirmed, and she started worshiping. What she heard, what she believed, and what she obeyed resulted in a song. Church, it's my prayer for all of us that this Christmas, each and every one of us has a song that we're going to sing that's going to remind us of who God is. That we have a song that we're going to sing that's going to remind us that faith isn't just about getting us through, but it's about making God bigger. Mary went to the voices that were proven in her life, that were trusted in her life, and they took her the direction that she was being sent, and she obeyed. She heard God's word. She responded with a yes. The next 9 months weren't easy. They weren't. They were hard. I can guarantee that she was tempted to question what she had heard. Imagine when she went and told Joseph, hey, Joe, I'm pregnant. And the results are back, and you are not the father. You're allowed to laugh at that, guys. It's okay. Joe would have looked at her like, yeah, we didn't do what you need to do to have a baby, Mary. I know, Joe. Listen, I got a story to tell you. She would have needed to keep singing that song. But in times of uncertainty, you need to go back to what you know and trust the voices that have proven that they can be trusted. Joseph needed to hear, believe, and obey as well. Joseph protected her. They became one in those 9 months. He married her. He protected her. Listen, married couples don't just become one whenever they say, I do. Married couples become one when they start to look at each other and one of them says, I don't, and they start to disagree. You feel what I'm saying? That's when you really start to become one, when you got to start to work through some things. That's when that covenant starts to kick in. Thank you for saying yes, Nick. I did your pre-marriage counseling. You knew. He knew there was going to be a day. We become one in trying times. Mary and Joseph became one quickly. You know, we want hope, we want peace, but in reality, we need faith. Why do we feel better when we're at church? This question didn't come up at the first worship experience, but it's just something that I'm thinking. Why do we feel better when we're at church? It's the Word of God. It's the people of God that you're around. It's the song that we sing. It's God coming alive in you. It's the revelation. It's the inspiration. It's the defined hope. Let's jump forward. Let's talk about the shepherds. They're an important part of the story, right? Shepherds are important. Luke 2, 8 through 9. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. I love this. A bunch of dudes just chilling. Mary was just confused and disturbed. These guys were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring you great joy to all the people." So who were these shepherds? They were working lower class. You know, they're working on Christmas Eve here. They're dirty, they're unclean, despised, bottom rung type of people on the social ladder. Subject to cruel stereotypes, probably the brunt of some jokes. And an angel shows up at an unusual time. They're terrified. You know, shepherd is part of my job description. I just got described as a working, lower class, dirty, unclean individual. But I love it. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." They heard the song. They heard the sound. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. And they said to each other, "Do you hear what I hear?" God gives us voices to listen to. The shepherds, they hurried, they obeyed. They obeyed, and when they obeyed, it led them to Jesus. Our faith leads us to Jesus, not just hope. They responded with, "Do you hear what I hear?" Said the lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear? A song high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea." In the midst of darkness and confusion, we have the choice. We have the choice on whether or not we're going to hear a different sound, whether or not we're going to sing a different song. whether or not we're going to walk in peace and clarity. Whether or not we're going to set our minds on God's word and allow for the voices around us to confirm it and set the direction that we get to walk in. The songs we sing this season, Mary sang one, the shepherds sang one. Church, we need a song. They remind us. They reorient us. They keep us moving. No matter what, he promises that he will bring us goodness and light. And he did that when he gave us his son. A dark, dark world. And he gave us goodness and light. The greatest gift the world has ever been given. And we have a choice on whether or not we receive it. So I don't know whether or not you walked in here today knowing that you received that gift. I don't know, maybe you walked in here confused and disturbed. Maybe you walked in here absolutely terrified because somebody invited you. Maybe you were scared to walk in here not knowing what you were going to hear. But I want you to know that our prayer was that you walked out of here with goodness and light. So if you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future. We want today to be your day, December 4th, 2022 at 11:51 a.m. Maybe you received him before and you just need to rededicate your life to him today. You want to pick the gift back up. I want you to do something really brave. You don't have to get up and start walking in the middle of the night like the shepherds did. You don't have to go to your cousin's house to confirm the word like Mary did and wait 9 months. No, I just want you to slip up your hand and say, Jesus, I need you. I need to receive you as my Lord and Savior. And we just want to pray with you today. If you need today to be your day where you know that you've received the greatest gift that's ever been given to the world, just slip your hand up to heaven. Anyone at all today. God, I thank you for the opportunity. I see that hand. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else today? Father God, we thank you. We rejoice with heaven right now. And God, we thank you that your goodness and light leads us every single day. God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to walk in that goodness and light. God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to invite others into your house, to experience your peace, your love, your joy. God, I pray that more and more people wouldn't just be invited here into a place, but they would be invited to hear your word, to hear your promises, to hear your truth, to hear the songs that are sung about you. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.